Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
So if you want to, I'll go ahead and open up to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be still in Colossians. We're only going to cover a couple verses today, but it's such a powerful thing to hear these words. Normally, I wouldn't just cover like three verses, but this passage is so important for all of us to understand. Whether you're sitting here and you're even a Christ follower for many, many decades, or you're still exploring what it looks like to know Jesus as your personal Savior, this passage of Scripture is for you, right? Whether you're sitting here and you have great community and you know that you're loved by the Savior and by others, or maybe you're sitting here and you're feeling alienated. You're feeling like you're the only person in the world that is going through what you're going through. This passage from Paul is something for you. Because we've all gone through times in our lives where we felt alienated or alone. I mean, I think back to some of the worst moments in my life and on the bus, right? Bus. It's where, man, sixth and seventh graders, that's the bane of the existence of a big-headed, skinny kid. All right? It was tough. And there were many, many rides to school where I felt like no one loves me. I'm all by myself on this place. Everybody else seems to be perfectly wonderful and cool, and I'm not, right? Or it could be anywhere. It could be in the workplace. It could be absolutely in your home even. Wherever you find yourself feeling that alienation, you need to know you're not alone, right? Just in physical form here in this place, you have a community of people that genuinely want to be in your life, that want to walk through this life with you. It's one of the things that I love the most about Bethany Bible Church is that we are a loving, welcoming, friendly people that wants to be more than just a smiling face on a Sunday, but someone that would walk with you through this life and to show you how valued and loved you are. But you also have a Heavenly Father that has gone before us and laid His life down for you so that you could be reconciled, which we're going to see in this passage, back to the Father, to be made whole, to be adopted in. And that is so encouraging. And this whole series, what I want us to understand, what I want us to take away from it is that is for us to just constantly ask the question as we walk through our daily life, is Christ truly above all in my thinking, my living, and my following? That is the question that I really want us to wrestle with here throughout the next few weeks as we travel through the book of Colossians. Is Christ truly above all of my thinking? Right? And that's hard because there's a lot of stuff that goes on in our world, in our lives every single day. But as a Christ follower, as someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if that's you, He should be above all of your thinking, all of my living, and all of the things that I follow. And I want us to remember too that the book of Colossians, right, it's written to a group of believers And that's very important for us to understand, right? These people had professed faith in Christ. Paul actually had never been to the church in Colossae, but one of his disciples who had learned from him had gone and planted this church. And there were many people who had chosen to follow Christ and had built this group up. And then what was happening is these other entities and other religions had come in and try to skew the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us to understand this context, because when you take out of context some of the passages within this book, you can misunderstand very quickly what Paul's message is, right? Number one above all is there has to come a point in time in your life where you make a decision to follow Christ. You personally, not your parents, not your grandparents, not just because you've come to church all your life, but because you recognize who Jesus is and what he did for you on the cross, what he did for all of us on the cross, and you have decided to repent of your sin and turn and follow him, because that's the only way that you're going to find forgiveness. Every one of us has to come to this decision. And out of context, you can see parts of this letter where it doesn't look like that's the case. But again, you have to understand, this was written to believers. The Colossians were being influenced by a mix of Jewish legalism, mysticism, and these minimalistic rituals that were suggesting that Christ alone and his salvation was not enough, that it could be added upon, that it was insufficient. And so Paul is addressing this. Last week in verses 15 to 20, Paul really lifts our eyes first and foremost in this beautiful hymn to the supremacy of Christ, how Christ was above all, that he is supreme over creation, that he's the head of the church, and that through him and only through him does God reconcile all things back to himself. That's what we looked at through that first passage. And it's just this breathtaking, incredible, cosmic understanding of who Jesus Christ is. You can't miss that part, right? If you weren't here last week or you didn't catch the message, you should go back and at the very least read verses 15 to 20. Because they really dovetail into this next passage that we're going to look at. Because what Paul's done here is he's painted this perfect picture of who Jesus is sufficient. And then he makes it personal to all of us. And so before we get into verse 21, I want to read from verse 20 and then go through the full passage, just so that we have this understanding of where he's coming from. Because I never want to present scripture out of context for you. We cannot twist scripture to make it mean what we want it to mean. Scripture is God's word, and we stand on that. So let me start in verse 20. It says, "And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it." Now, what is in these three verses? It's so important. I mean, it truly matters, because Paul is pivoting from Christ's personal work to our personal understanding, which is just simply that what the gospel accomplishes in the believer's life, right? The truth of who Jesus is, this passage explains what it really does in us and how we have to respond to it. Because the supremacy of Christ, the fact that God is over, Jesus is all over all creation, is not just theory, it's our reality. If you are a proclaimed follower of Jesus Christ, that is your reality. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. For the Colossians, it meant moving from alienation to reconciliation, understanding how much they have changed because of that profession of faith. And what we're going to see in this passage as we really unpack it here is that life-changing power that the cross brought. Paul says three things here, that reconciliation is complete, that the goal is holiness and blamelessness, and that perseverance in the faith is the evidence of true reconciliation. That's the three things that we're really going to look at here in the next 15 to 20 minutes. It starts with understanding who Jesus is. That's why Paul ordered this letter that way. And once you understand who Jesus is, then you have to understand our relationship to that, right? Our former reality. If you don't know Christ, your current reality is that you are alienated and hostile towards the God of the universe. Look in verse 21. I'm going to read this one from the ESV version because I really like the way that it lines it out. It says, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." So the Greek word alienated here, it literally means transferred to another owner. Okay, so it's not like you were left alone. It was that you are no longer who you were. You were owned and operated by something else. It's saying that humanity's default state is spiritual captivity under the power of sin and Satan. It's not just moral failure. It's not just making bad choices. It's who you are. Humanity's alienation is total. It's their mind, it's the will, it's our behavior. All those things are under the influence of sin and Satan. And alienation, it's not ignorance of who God is, but it's actually actively working against him, expressed through our wickedness. That's what Paul's saying. He's trying to paint a picture of how bad it really is and how much we need a Savior, because on our own, we are insufficient to do anything to change that alienation. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, expressed the level of our wickedness and what that brings from God. I read this from the New American Standard. It says, "But your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Notice here, sin is both a condition and a choice. We have to understand our prior alienation. We have to understand the before we come to Christ, we have to understand that we are enemies of God. That's what we're born into. And yet, despite that understanding, that truth really underscores the depth of God's grace and love to all of us. To send Jesus. Romans 5:10 expresses it well. Paul says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son." Many of you, thankfully, have come to know Christ as Savior. Some maybe even at a child's age. It doesn't change what you had to recognize in order to come to salvation. You had to come to a place where you admitted your failure and your need for grace. And then that first step, even if as a child you may not have understood the depth of it all, is to receive the next truth. Reconciliation. That's the good news of this whole thing, right? Paul paints this horrible picture of who we are. But then he says, but God, loved you through it, and made a way out of it. So in case you're starting to feel terrible about yourself, let's move to the next verse, which is the pick-me-up, right? Reconciliation. It's not just forgiveness. It is a complete change of ownership, a complete change in your ownership status. You have been reconciled through the death of Christ. Look in the first half of verse 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Paul wants to emphasize this reality. He's painted this incredible picture. He's made everybody feel horrible about themselves and really painted the perfect picture of what it looks like for those before they come to know Christ as Savior. And then he says, but now you have been reconciled. It's not abstract. It is reality. And this is where we all have to really pay attention. It is not through any effort on our own. We just receive it. We choose to receive it. It happened through the actual death of a real man, Jesus Christ, who lived a real life. God didn't meet us halfway. He met us completely by coming to earth for us, offering peace with himself through his son's sacrifice. Before we even recognized, before we even knew that we were alienated, before we acknowledged our sin, before we said, man, I am super messed up, he came to us. Which means that this reconciles not just our guilt or our behavior, but our relationship with God. It gives us a new status. Think of it this way. If you've ever gotten in trouble with the law, right? And you have to go stand before the judge. Whatever the judge says is fact, guilty, not guilty. But after that verdict, you don't go have coffee with the guy. You're not inviting him over to your home. You might see him at the barbershop if you live around here, but you really have no relationship with him because it was a very transactional moment. The God of the universe is unlike that judge. God also wants to be our friend. He wants to have a relationship with us every moment of your life. The salvation that we find in Jesus restores that relationship, not just the legal standing. And I think this is where so many people get off, right? They make the decision, they say, I'm going to follow Christ as my Savior, and then they check a box. That's a legal standing. Jesus is calling us into relationship, a moment by moment, day by day lifestyle. And if you take a moment to let that sink in, you realize that when you've accepted Christ, really, even before that, your reconciliation with God is already complete because of what he did through Jesus Christ. And again, that gift is available for everyone if you choose to receive it, knowing that you didn't do anything to earn it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to perform perfectly. You don't have to be perfect. Christ has already done it. All we have to do is accept it. Look at the second half of verse 22. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. As a result of your faith, as a result of your repentance and your acceptance of Jesus as Savior, look, you're marked innocent. You're marked holy. And isn't that amazing? That picture that he created at the beginning in verse, just one verse before, of how we were enemies with God. And now he's saying, through Jesus Christ, you have been made holy and blameless. And do you believe that today? Because if you believe it, it should change every decision that you make, every relationship that you have, every moment of your day. Paul uses this language in verse 22 to echo that Old Testament priesthood where sacrifices were very carefully inspected and had to be perfect in order to be offered to God. He's saying when Christ is that perfect sacrifice that it reconciles us. He was presented as holy, blameless, and above reproach because he was in every way. And again, this is not of our own efforts. It is about what Christ accomplished. Many of us in this room, if we are honest, we really struggle with guilt and self-condemnation, and we pour on ourselves all of this mess because of our own choices. I want to encourage you with this today, that God sees you as blameless and holy because of Christ's finished work. And because of that, you can find acceptance fully, completely, and eternally in him. It's like no other relationship that you ever have, because even your bestest friend in the whole world, you know that there's maybe still a little something that they might not like about you, or they might find fault in about you. God is not like that. And we have to shift our understanding to the God that we serve, to the God that we find salvation in. He finds us holy and blameless. And so when you feel feelings of shame and dishonor and messiness this week, I would encourage you, be reminded to say out loud, I am holy in Christ. I am blameless in his sight. Just say that to help remind you of who you are, because the world is going to constantly throw blame and is constantly going to throw dirt on you and say that you're unworthy. But in Christ, you are holy and blameless in the God of the universe's sight. Let the gospel, that truth, really reshape that inner conversation that you have every day. Because we have to get this right, right? If you don't understand it, you're going to keep walking right back into your sin. You're going to keep walking right back into your own life because you don't understand the relationship part that God has created with you. And you forget that he has already made you holy and he has made you blameless. You don't have to walk back to those old ways. Look in verse 23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Other translations you might be reading from, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, or some say even remain. Now, again, this is another one of those passages which if you just take it out of context, right, put it up on the wall, you might be tempted to believe that your eternal security is at risk if you turn and walk away. But again, remember the context of what Paul is writing to the Colossians. They are already being tempted to add to what Christ has already done. They're receiving false teaching that would pull them away from the gospel. And Paul's saying, no, you need to remain steadfast in the truth that you know from the very beginning. He is pointing to the evidence of that true reconciliation and the perseverance that we have been called to in the face of false teaching, in the face of anything else that would pull at us and drag us away from that central understanding. The NLT translation, which I really like, it says, but you must continue. I like that. And the reason I use this passage in this translation is to give us that proper understanding, right? Faith, our faith is a journey. You might hear me say that every once in a while. On our faith journey, where are you in your faith journey? Our life Every step we take is a part of our faith journey. When you come to Christ, it's not just a one-time decision. It is a life-changing event that leads you into new life with Christ. This reconciled life is marked by a continuing in the gospel, a remaining steadfast and unshaken walk, even when pressures and doubts and distractions come your way, and they will, just like the Colossians were facing. That's why it's so important for us to study this 2,000 years later, because we're hit with the exact same temptations every day. Paul's reminding us of the gospel's power proclaimed to every creature unto our heaven. The hope of Christ is unstoppable, personal, and is in everyone, is found complete. So ask yourself, are you grounded in the hope of the gospel? And are there areas of your life where you're tempted to drift from that hope? We all have them. But again, if we're not asking that question, we don't notice the drift. So what I want you to do, I'm going to give you a statement. I want you to take a picture of it, write it down, place it somewhere you're going to see this week. Here it is. Faithful endurance is not perfection. It is remaining rooted in Christ, trusting his work, and living from his reconciliation. This is what we need to understand. Faithful endurance, don't beat yourself up when you mess up. It's recognizing the mess up, getting up, and moving forward. That's what we have to do. Remaining rooted in who we are. It was really windy here this week, and it's going to be really windy over the next couple of days. And that wind moves stuff. I find that was a soccer goal in my yard the other day, and I have no idea where it came from. It disappeared, so I don't know. It either blew off or I don't know. But the trees that I have, they're fine because they're rooted. In our life, that wind is going to come in all different forms. And if you are not rooted in whose you are and the work that he has accomplished for you and living in life of reconciliation, you're going to be like that soccer goal. You're going to just be blown without any type of traction. It's not perfection. It's about remaining rooted. And remember, reconciliation is not just a status. It's a call to life. Because we are reconciled. These three things, I'm going to give you these three things, just kind of a summary of what we talked about. Because we are reconciled, we can approach God confidently, knowing we are holy and blameless. And we can love others. Because of this truth, we can love others. We can reflect the reconciliation that we have received to others. Well, I hope that is your testimony. And we can remain steadfast in faith, letting the gospel shape every decision, relationship, and priority that we have in our life. This is what our lives should look at in our faith journey, because we are reconciled. This is what the Colossians needed to hear as they face the temptations of a false gospel or an additional add-on to it. And it's what we need to hear today. Because every one of these things we forget and we're tempted to walk away from. And so again, every week I give you some type of next step, something that you can take with you. And in 2026, I'm going to give you a head, heart, and hands next step. And so for our head this week, I want you to let your mind just be renewed by the truth of the gospel. Write down, memorize Colossians 1, 21, and 23. Usually I give you a bigger block to memorize, but these three verses, so important for us to reflect on daily. Reflect on the phrases that you are holy in his sight, that you're free from accusation. Study the meaning. Take some time, man. Study the meaning of reconciliation and how it really differs from simple forgiveness. Ask yourself, how does knowing that I am fully reconciled affect my confidence in God? Because it should change your confidence level. The second thing is to really feel, to really internalize that heart, the heart part of this head, heart, and hands is to let the gospel shape your emotions and your affections this week. Ask God to really reveal in your life any lingering guilt that you might have, any shame, any self-condemnation that you constantly are placing on yourself. And then confess these things and receive his assurance that in Christ you are holy and blameless. That's such an important exercise. Pray that God would give you a renewed commitment to persevere in faith. Ask him to just make you rooted, steadfast, immovable in the hope of the gospel. And finally, the hands. This is what I want you to really do this week. Live out that reconciliation that God has done in you. Really find one tangible step of reconciliation. Maybe it's one relationship that you can make a phone call to. Maybe it's a text message that hasn't been sent. Take a step towards reconciliation this week. Simple, maybe it's an apology or an encouragement or just a simple act of kindness. You know you've been called to do it and you just haven't. Use that opportunity to share the story of Christ's reconciliation with someone who feels distant from God, someone who needs that assurance, so that you truly demonstrate that hope that you've already received. Get out into the community. Find people that maybe you don't even have a relationship with. And let them see how God has transformed you. And maybe you're sitting here and you've never made the decision to follow Christ. I want to encourage you to understand that the gospel is not abstract. It is deeply personal. Reconciliation was God's initiative. God reached across the chasm of our sin through Christ. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. We didn't do anything to earn his favor. He offered it freely. And it's not just about a legal standard. It is about a relationship. It's about a restored relationship. And our response to that matters. So if you're sitting here today and you haven't made that decision, how do you get to that point? The first is you have to admit that you need it. You have to admit that you absolutely are alienated from God and that you can't fix it on your own. And then simply believe in him. Believe that Jesus did what we've said he's done, which is to come from heaven into earth, who died on the cross, resurrected 3 days later. That salvation is only found in him alone. And then simply receive it. When you know those two things, when you can admit those things, then the next is to just simply receive that incredible gift and commit to follow him. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And sure, maybe your past is an absolute dumpster fire, but that's okay. All of ours is. Because we were alienated from our Father in heaven. This free gift can be available to you today if you simply are willing to receive it. And I would invite you. I'm going to pray in a minute and we're going to be dismissed and you're going to go into your life. But if God is tugging on your heart today, because you've never made that decision, stop and talk to me. I'll be out in the front foyer. I would love to have a conversation with you about what it means to truly know Christ as Savior. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for reconciling us to yourself. God, it's so much better to know that you did it because we're a mess. We're unworthy. Apart from you, we are unholy. We are your enemies, and yet you sent your son Jesus to come into this world to make us holy and blameless through his death and resurrection. God, you paid the ultimate price because of your love for us, because of your desire for reconciliation, and you have made it all possible. Lord, I pray that there's anyone in here that doesn't understand that, that has not accepted that free gift, Lord, that you would change their heart today, that you would help them to put down any hesitation they have about their past or even their current situation, and help them to understand how much you love them, how much you went, how far you went for them. God, it's unfathomable. I don't have the ability to articulate the level of love that you have for your creation. But God, you showed it through Jesus Christ. And to him we give all the glory. We thank you for his incredible work of redemption. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you have a great week. Stay safe out there. Steady steps. We'll see you soon.